Today on Real Radio.
We were once blind, but the first thing we note this morning is that now we see God's love. Before God opened our eyes, we were blind to the love of God. We didn't understand that. We were, first of all, blind to his compassion. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth." Don't you love that? I have that marked in my Bible. He saw a man. I don't know how you read your Bible, but this is the way I read my Bible. He saw me.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We're going to be taking a look at the entirety of chapter 9. All 41 verses, and of course this is the account where Jesus made clay and healed the blind man. Of course, they were grilling him afterwards, saying, "Who healed you? Why did he do this on the Sabbath?" and so on. What was the man's response? "All I know is that once I was blind, and now I see." Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Of course, this chapter is interesting because it starts in verse 1 and goes to verse 41. It's all one grand story. In fact, it's one of the most famous miracles that Jesus has ever performed. It's one that has a lot of very deep hidden things. And we do well this morning if we put our Jewish robes on and sandals and get into the text according to the times and the seasons of which and when it was given. Jesus announcing in John 8:12 that he being the light, and also announcing that if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto Jesus. Great things had been preached and said, radical things declared, fulfilling Old Testament scriptures. But there was an antagonistic group, the scribes and Pharisees, warring against the truth of God. And it's never changed. It's always going to be that way. There will be those who claim to know God, and yet they will fight against the simple truth of God. And so these religious leaders, as your Bible says, the Jews, not the Jewish people, don't make that mistake. But when it says the Jews, it is the religious hierarchy of the Jewish people. They're contentious, they're fighting, they're arguing against Jesus. And so there's a great miracle that's about to be done. And it's done at a very interesting time, because last time in our study, when Jesus told them, his opponents, that he was in fact prior to Abraham's existence, that he was the great I Am, that is the one who has always been, the one who is, and the one who always shall be, that he's the all-present knowing God. When Jesus invoked the words ego eimi, the I Am, they recognized exactly what he was saying. He was declaring to be the God of Abraham, which so infuriated them that what appeared to be a mere man declaring to be God, they picked up stones to kill him. But the closing verse of John 8 says that he passed through the midst of them by divine power, passed by. And as he's passing by, we come now to John 9:1, and we see Jesus, as he's departing the temple precinct area, ministering still again. That's just the way he is. The title of the message this morning is, Once We Were Blind. God is going to open the eyes of this man, but once you and I were blind, do you remember that? For some of you, you don't. I had a neat meeting with a few of you last week who had said, "You know what, Jack, I've known Jesus all my life. I don't know the day I came to Christ." That's an awesome thing to be able to say, by the way. Don't disparage that. When you came up to me last week, you were kind of sad about it. "I don't have a radical conversion story. No, my friend, the fact is you've got a great conversion story that God saved you early on in life. And he's kept you through this wicked world. On Wednesday night, I had a man come up to me and say, my daughter today bowed her head and prayed and asked Jesus to come into her life. And he was all rejoicing, but there's a little bit of concern on his face. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, she's only 4 years old. And I said, well, praise God. I wish I would have come to Christ when I was 4 years old. Would have spared me a lot of grief. But according to statistics, most people do come to Christ early in life. And it becomes more difficult as you grow older to come to Christ. And one of those reasons is blindness, spiritual blindness. And so we need to be very careful. The Bible tells us that we're all born blind. Well, concerning sight, physical, spiritual, we all have this challenge. As we grow older, our sight begins to maybe wane. You know, you see people looking, you know, through glasses and got them on their nose and sometimes on their face, or they're talking to you, but they're going to read something, so they got to put the glasses to their face. And you see, that's a mark of growing old or older. I have to include myself in that group now. I've got to get my eyes examined because I don't see things like I used to, up close anyway. We have perceptions, we have views, and the fact of the matter is many people today are challenged by, listen, biases and assumptions. Perception means everything. How you perceive things in this life and how you perceive things spiritually. You may be looking at life like this, trying to find the answer and, you know, what does it all mean? In our story, you can be as blind as a bat, so to speak. This man's completely blind, but yet his eyes are open spiritually. Yes, Jesus will open his eyes physically. But more important than a physical healing, he'll enjoy a spiritual awakening. And no matter what your status is in life, have you enjoyed and are you experiencing a spiritual awakening? America needs a spiritual awakening. We need to get back to what God has decreed for this country, that the Bible be the preeminent book of this nation. That like, tragically, we have to go so far away to sight, but like New Zealand, who recently proclaimed the Bible to be in every classroom, and the Bible to be read publicly and openly, just as it was once in early America. Perceptions, having the Bible as our rule of law. The fact of the matter is, once we were blind, for those of us who are Christians, and now we see. And so as we go through this chapter together, bear with me and I apologize. It's best that we cover the chapter as much as we can, if not all of it. So I'm going to be going quickly. Understand this carefully, that the Bible makes it very, very clear. It judges us. I cannot judge you. You cannot judge me. If I attempt to judge you, my judgment's nothing. If you attempt to judge me, it's faulty because of human-based perception. But the Bible judges us. And the Bible says that we're all born blind spiritually into this world. And so when our eyes are opened, we're going to look at several things this morning that are indicative, that are indicators of our lives being touched by God, just like this man who we see in the scripture together. I'll paraphrase, and then we'll come back and look at it closely in our study. As Jesus leaves the area, he sees a man who is blind from birth. And Jesus, they're looking upon him. His apostles, his disciples, begin to perceive that there must be some sort of compassion being stirred up in Jesus' heart. And they'll ask him a question. Jesus, who sinned that this man should be born blind, him or his mom and dad? Isn't that tragic? And Jesus goes on to describe that the man's blindness has nothing to do with sin, at least on a personal note. But he was blind to the glory of God. And as Jesus goes through the process of healing this man, the antagonists return. They come attacking and investigating and rather rejoicing in what Jesus has done. Have you ever known spiritual party poopers like that? Everyone's praising God because God's done a great thing, and here comes the party pooping squad. Well, do they do it on Saturday or Sunday? Did they baptize you frontward or backward? Did they sprinkle you or did they hang you by your feet? you know, what is that? Well, these guys come along and they've got all these little questions about Jesus and how he cannot be from God because this happened on the Sabbath day and he's in fact evil. And where is the man that Jesus healed anyway? And they interrogate his parents. And the grand conclusion of it all is that this man who has his eyes opened, has his heart opened, and he makes the declaration, "All I know is that once I was blind and now I see." And that's the message of the Christian today. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And it's a tremendous thing. As a Christian, we can see things behind the scenes. It's one thing to go to Warner Brothers or Disney. We've had a chance to tour Disney behind the scenes on numerous occasions, having friends work there. And it's really fun and neat, and you see all this stuff going on. But it's all fake. It's all a facade. That's how the world is. But when we come to Christ, the view, the perception is peeled away and we see the truth. And we understand that this world, though we see things physically, those of us who are Christians, there's a definite truth and a fact to the matter that behind all that we see, there are spiritual issues. Don't let what's going on in Florida fool you. This is not a political thing, a judicial thing. It's a spiritual thing. What's happening in Florida and the United States is a spiritual thing. And so every Christian is praying about the outcome of what's going on, that God's will would be done. We were once blind, but the first thing we note this morning is that now we see God's love. Before God opened our eyes, we were blind to the love of God. We didn't understand that. We were, first of all, blind to his compassion. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth." Don't you love that? I have that marked in my Bible. He saw a man. I don't know how you read your Bible, but this is the way I read my Bible. He saw me. So you write in your Bible? I write in my Bible. I write all over my Bible. This is my diary. He saw me. He saw you. Jesus passes by. Remember, there's guys in the vicinity with stones wanting to kill him. Jesus is still just passing by, and he sees a man, and obviously he's moved with compassion because he knows and he's intending to do something regarding his blindness. This man cannot see. The Bible tells us in Matthew 8:14, that when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother sick with a fever, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. When he saw her, he healed her. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says that Jesus saw the great multitudes, and he was moved with compassion, and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. I've told you this before, but I always look for an opportunity to say it just to upset any evolutionary friends we have in the audience. It is an evolution fact. It is a scientific fact that sheep cannot exist without a shepherd. It's impossible. Did you know that? On the evolutionary chain, you got this big glitch, among other things. You can't have sheep without humans standing nearby. A sheep cannot exist without human intervention. I love that stuff. You won't hear that on some planet Earth program, you know, animal thing, what, you know, crocodile hunter thing. You won't hear that. You can't have a sheep on the earth without human care. Don't you love that? And Jesus looks at us and he says, "You know what? My heart's moved with compassion." Actually, in the Greek, it's my bowels. The deepest part of my guts yearn with compassion for people, Jesus said. How does that make you feel? Isn't that what you need to hear? That's exactly what we need to hear. People may think what they think and say what they say. The fact of the matter is, Jesus looks at me and he's moved with compassion. I mean, sometimes I have to remind him, "God, look at me. Look at me." And he says, "Man, I look at you and I am moved with compassion. Father, pity me as a father pities his children." I often pray, "Lord, make me the object of your affection." You say, "Doesn't that sound selfish?
I think it's a very selfish prayer, but I'm going to keep praying it. Why? Because I know that he's the only one truly, truly, with absolute pure compassion. Listen, I know that God loves you. I know that God loves us because he's moved with compassion. And this man is sitting there blind. Is he looking for Jesus? Nope. Is he running around? Nope. He is blind. And God intends for him good. He wants to bless him. God looks at us with compassion because you and I live in a world that is fallen and difficult. He doesn't plan evil for us. As we'll see, he's a God of love, and he's gentle, and he's kind. Secondly, we see the love of God in this interesting way. It's opposite of human perceptions. The disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, that is to say teacher or master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Now listen to that carefully. His disciples said, Jesus, who sinned? His mom and dad, or he himself? That he should be born blind. Born blind? The guy was born blind. What do they mean he sinned? Is he the one who sinned or did his parents sin? Isn't that kind of mean? Well, according to ancient Jewish teaching, this is true. According to rabbinical teaching, they formulated a tradition based upon Genesis 25. Remember when Jacob and Esau were in mommy's womb? And it was time for them to be born, and the struggle that was going on inside, and the pulling on the heel, and jockeying for position about who gets to come out first. According to Genesis 25, the scribes and students of the word began to formulate a Jewish tradition that stated this, that because of Genesis 25, a child could sin inside the womb, and that sin could cause them to be born with birth defects. So that when a child born with a birth defect came forth, immediately the question was asked, who sinned? You? Or the dad? Or maybe the child? Isn't that wicked? But aren't there people going around today saying, hey, the reason why you're sick is because of what? Sin in your life. Or whatever it might be. That's evil. That is wrong. It's not right. Human perceptions is opposite to the love wherewith God loves us with. And it's a very tragic thing. Human love, at best, is faulty, you know. But God's love is constant. Also, verses 3 to 5, we see that there's the issue of life in that God loves us. We see God's love in that it's in the issues of life that you and I go through. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, this is a tough pill to swallow. Listen carefully. I have to confess, I don't understand this. I've studied, I've looked at this, and I've come to the conclusion if somebody thinks they understand it, I'm convinced they don't. It's one of these things. God says, Jesus says, listen, the fact is, his parents didn't sin. Now, were his parents sinners? Yes, we're all sinners. But Jesus says, no, this is not specific sin. This is not that, nor this silliness about the child being a sinner. The fact is, this person was born blind to the glory of God. And this hits me, and I don't understand. But God says to me, Jack, I didn't ask you to understand this. I'm asking you to believe me. I remember when Ashley, my youngest, was about 8 months old, and she had become terribly sick. She's allergic to antibiotics. They'll kill her. Well, we didn't know that. Nobody knew that. And so she became very, very ill, and they had at St. Jude's Hospital, St. Joseph's as well, they had a pediatric hematologist come out, and they told us, they said, listen, she has a 50% chance to live. You can't touch her. We have to quarter her to a bed. She's in isolation. If you touch any part of her skin, she will bleed through her pores. Her red blood cells are lysing. She's bleeding to death from the inside out. And they warned us that they were going to be doing a tracheotomy to cut her throat because the throat swells, scabs over on the inside, and they can't breathe anymore and eventually suffocate. And I tell you something. It never hit us prior until that day. And I remember we were sitting down in the cafeteria of that hospital, And we were there around the clock with that kid. And this peace came over us and was incredibly powerful. God simply said this. I didn't hear a voice, but the Lord simply impressed upon our heart, Ashley's mine. And it was very clear what he meant. She's not yours. She's mine. And you just step back. Oh, not step back like, oh no, it's step back. And yes, I understand. Wow, you're right. And it's as though you see the control of God. He's sovereign. Do you know that? He's in absolute control. Jack, you don't understand. My child was just run over, or my husband, or my wife, or fill in the blank. God is in control. I don't understand it either. But I know God says, trust me. But it doesn't seem to be working. God says, rest in me. And we had to wait for over a week to find out if she was going to make it or not. And just God is so good. God gave us that peace. And then a day or so later, we were at the hospital and Pastor Chuck Smith walks by. We were surprised. And he had heard about Ashley and he drove up to the hospital and went to her room and in isolation there and prayed for her. And he came down and he said, God's going to heal her. Well, we had already decided to give her back to God. And Chuck had made that statement, and I thought, well, that's a nice thing to say. But how does he know? And that wasn't the point. The point was God wanted us to release her. See, I don't understand things like that. Maybe God's saying that for you about a business or a family or a venture or whatever. God says, you know, just let it go. And it's so hard to back away, but there's times when God so says it that you let go. In the issues of life, Jesus is there. This man could have generated all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm blind. I can't do this. I can't do the other. He was a beggar. He begged. He didn't offer an excuse. Jesus visited the issue of his life. And Jesus will visit and shall always visit every issue of our lives. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, so the Lord said to Moses, who has made the mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?
The Gospels reveal to us that Jesus not only claimed to be God Almighty, but he demonstrated it in being able to perform miracles only the Almighty could do. He had command over the waves, the sea, people's health, their very lives, and in fact the authority to forgive sin. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Once We Were Blind, it's a look at the entirety of John chapter 9. Of course, we'll have to pick up with more on our next broadcast of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, you can get in touch with us and order your own audio copy of this study in its entirety. You can give us a call at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at www.calvaryCCH.org. That's calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.